Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and we're going to get right in this.
Yes, sir.
We prayed yesterday, so it's still in force today.
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
All week.
All week. Amen. Now, let's go where we were yesterday, right there in the book of Philippians. And we were talking about, I'll wait till you get there, in that third chapter of Philippians, which when I get over into the book of Philippians, I keep wanting to back up and go back to chapter 1, verse 1, because this is a partner letter. Mm-hmm. He said so. It's called fellowship in this book, but it was translated partnership in the book of Luke when Peter called his partners to come in and help him.
Right.
Now, anyway, chapter 3, we talked about, he said, but those things were gained to me, I counted lost for the anointing. I want that anointing. Doubtless, I count all these things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but trash, that I may win the Anointed One and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Faith just keeps showing up. Which is of God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Look at verse 13. Now, class, people don't read this correctly because there are italicized words in there. And they are this and I do. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended but one thing. One thing. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in the anointing of Jesus. And then, verse 20, verse 19, whose end is their destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Let's hurry up and get this Easter Sunday service over with because I want to go eat. It's not Easter Sunday in the first place. Easter was used one time in the King James Bible, and it's Passover. Yes. It's Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah.
Praise God.
That's right.
Actually, Brother Copeland, you had Passover, then the next day when he was in the grave was unleavened bread, and the day he came out of the grave was first fruits.
Yes.
So it's first fruit Sunday. He's the first fruit.
He's the first fruit
of
the
all
the firstborn from the dead.
That's it.
And all of us, when we accept Him as our Lord and our Savior, we have firstborn status. He is no longer the only begotten Son of God. He did that to bring many sons into glory.
That's exactly right.
All of us, glory to God.
On first fruits, the priest would go down and he would cut a stalk off of a harvest field, and he would look at it, and he would know whether the fruit was good or the harvest was going to be good that year. And then he would wave it before the Lord as an offering. And it's a wave offering. It's a first fruits offering. That's exactly what happened when Jesus came
yes,
out of
it
that
did.
Grave. He was the first fruit and he was good.
And it was not on Friday.
No, sir, it wasn't. It was the first day of the week.
It was, and John says, this was a high Sabbath. So it started on Wednesday, not Friday.
You start with the evening. Of the day.
Yeah. Jesus said Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the big fish, in the belly of the whale. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So it had to be 3 days and 3 nights. And that won't happen if it went in, if he went in, into hell on Friday. Now, you know, I mean, don't chew your pastor out, because, but you might as well get it right. And it started Wednesday evening and early Sunday morning. So just do the math. But it here, our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. In verse 13 of chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ, through that anointing which strengthens me. Yeah. Glory Amen. To God.
Amen.
See, I can do it all. I got rid of all that other stuff.
Because He got rid of that. What did He get rid of? And He tells you back here in chapter 3, verse 2, 3, 4, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. And then He defined it, that I might also have confidence in the flesh. I got rid of my confidence in my flesh and my ability. And here's the deal. If I have faith in my ability, that's what I'm limited to. If I have faith in money, I'm only limited to what money can do.
That's right.
But if I have faith in the power and the authority of God, I'm only limited to the power and authority of God. And nobody's been able to define what that is.
No.
Any more than we can define when He began.
No.
All of that power. And this is what He's talking about. Now I have that power. That's why I can be happy. That's why I can rejoice. I have all of that power
now,
and authority.
All of that available. Power and authority is in the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
So, how are you gonna measure it? Well, you have to measure what's behind the name. He inherited the name. Then it was conferred upon Him. Then He got His name through conquest.
That's right.
He defeated hell in hell. He suffered there more than any before or since, because He was made to be sin. He didn't sin. He was made to be sin, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
When we receive salvation, we don't confess the cross. We confess the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Paul didn't say that I may know Him in the power of His cross. He said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. Mm-hmm. That's where the power is.
That's where the power is.
And that's when He was Lord. When He came out of there.
Well, He said that over in the book of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
He was made through the resurrection.
Yes. He's that grain offering. There's no coincidence in the Scripture. But coincidentally, if you believe in coincidence, Noah will land on the mountain after the flood, and they'll come out on first fruits. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same day. Mm-hmm. And it's the exact same day that Jesus will come out of the grave.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. At Romans.
Glory to God. In the book of Romans, so as much as in me is, first chapter, 15th verse, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God.
There it is.
Unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Mm-hmm.
So, it all happened because of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And this first covenant in two parts, the blood of animals, then blood of a man through circumcision, followed all the way down through this, then the type of Jesus that we talked about that bound Abraham, and it was bound God to Abraham and Abraham to God through covenant, because he was willing to sacrifice his only begotten son.
That's right.
So that when the time came that Jesus said, if there is any way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Well, God had to turn his back, but his covenant partner was willing to do it. He raised the knife and an angel stayed him. And there was a sacrifice provided, a ram tangled up in a bush. Mm-hmm. I always wondered who that ram belonged to. They're important, whoever they are.
This verse right here, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, verse 16, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also the Greek. 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk in the Hebrew says, the just by faith shall live. That's how we're justified, by faith. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So how's the wrath of God revealed? It's through us. Mm-hmm. It's through words. And this is how he created. He created everything with his words. And you've given me the honor of teaching Old Testament, New Testament at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. I thank you for that. It's changed my life.
Praise God.
Because in it, it's caused me to go even deeper and to study at another level. Mm-hmm. I began to study. I'm not a prophet, you are. But I began to say, Lord, I'm teaching at a school, and I call it Kenneth Copeland University. Kenneth Copeland University, named after the prophet, I have to come up and be able to teach at the prophet's level. Pastor George taught me that in his preaching. And so when we talk about covenants, we talk about then the evil tongue. And I've looked at this verse. Psalm 89:34 says, my covenant will not break nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips.
Yes, yes, yes.
So God's not going to do that. Jeremiah 1:12 says, then the Lord said unto me, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. For I am the Lord, Ezekiel says in 12:25. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, a rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, says the Lord God.
You notice, I say the word, I declare. Romans chapter 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared.
Yes.
Declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead.
And when he gave us, this is why I said, don't leave Jerusalem till you get the power.
Yes.
That raised me from the dead. So you have that resident on the inside of you. I've seen too many believers that say, well, I've tried that. I've tried that confession. It's just not working. And I've always focused myself on the positive aspect of confession. And I do kind of like you do in this. I trained myself a long time ago to try to be a disciple of Jesus and mm-hmm. just talk to him like one of his guys
yes.
would, and have him talk to me like that. And he took me over. I was sitting in the office, in my office, and he said, Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful
yes.
and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And if you could bring that over, I have something that hangs in my office at home. And sometimes you forget pictures you have on the wall because you're used to seeing them all the time. And as I was sitting there meditating on this, I looked across the wall from me is hanging this sword.
Yes.
And this is it's called the Sword of Solomon. It's a replica, and there's the menorah, there's the Star of David. And I realized there's two edges to this guy.
Yes, there is.
And I have only focused on one edge. I didn't focus on the other edge that we just read about just a moment ago. Jesus is the high priest of my confession, Hebrews 3:1 says. And so there's another side of confession that I don't often hear about. And Jesus used this method in healing the sick. And you first see it in Mark 11. Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life.
They that love it
shall eat the fruit of it.
Yes.
So we've taught don't speak death, but speak life. But then I realized Jesus used, we say it this way, we would rewrite that verse the way we think, the way I thought. I'm talking about me now. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So I need to speak life words, not death words. But I find out in many instances, Jesus spoke death words. That's the other side of the sword. So if I were to say, we're going to discuss death words today, you'd put your shield of faith up because you don't want to hear that. No. To the works of the enemy, he spoke death words.
You curse a disease. Yes.
He spoke to a tree and the tree hurt him.
Yes, it did.
And it dried up from the roots and they took notice of it. And when he would, this is the way he healed people many times. We think that if we're going to pray for the sick or heal people, we're going to pray for them. He didn't always do that. Now, we do pray. I'm not minimalizing that. It'd be like us saying, well, God, save Aunt Judy. No, God's already saved Aunt Judy. She needs to receive what he's already done.
Mm-hmm.
Or God, send the Holy Ghost into this. He's already sent the Holy Ghost into the, you see what I mean? But we're praying something that he's already done. He didn't tell them to go pray for the sick. He told them to heal the sick. And it's really taken me back, and I've been looking at this. In Mark 11, in verse 12, now the next day when they'd come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the season, it was not the season for figs. Verse 14, in response, Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. When he said it, those words went right to the root of that thing.
It did.
And Peter will say, look, the tree you spoke to yesterday has dried up, has cursed. Usually it takes days for leaves to begin to wither up and dry up.
It's less than 24 hours.
This was immediate. Mm-hmm. This thing went to work immediately. So apparently the fig tree had ears to hear this, mm-hmm. Right?
Jesus rebuked the fear, the fever.
That's it.
In Peter's wife's mother. He rebuked the fever, touched her hand, and the fever left.
Mm-hmm.
That fever got out of there.
That's right.
And this serious, this is a deadly disease. That it wasn't just a light kind of thing. It was something I would say akin to typhoid or something like that. I mean, she was, Luke called it a great fever. I would expect from that she was probably delirious. And they were frightened about her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the part that we haven't learned in the power is what he used many times was a rebuke. I find it over and over and over again where he did this, especially with healing and sickness. The Greek word is a compound word. Epi means above or higher. And the other part of that word means to judge. So he's judging from a higher position. Now, we've already been talking about that. We've been made perfect. We've been made mature. We've grown. We're from a higher position now on this side of the cross. And we're to be judging, not people, but judging the works of the enemy and things that are contrary to what this place is supposed to be.
Now, I want you to notice something here in this scripture, in Hebrews 4:12. Now, notice this. for the word of God. Repeat that. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intents of the heart. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in His sight.
There you go.
It called the Word of God He.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now go to the book of Galatians chapter 3.
Oh, glory to God.
And notice this in the 8th verse. Now the Scripture...
Foreseeing.
The Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached.
Mm-mm-mm.
The Scripture preached.
Yes.
Before the Scripture preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, the Scripture said something to him.
Mm-hmm.
In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are be of faith are blessed with Father Abraham, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. But we're not under the curse. We live by faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law,
That's
being
right.
made a curse for us. The Word of God, He. This Book of Covenants, that's the reason it's a holy Bible, not just a Bible. Bible just means a joined facts. Mm-hmm. The only one I ever paid any attention to much was the Shooter's Bible. It's not holy, it's Shooter's.
Right.
Everything about ballistics, everything about every kind of gunpowder, everything. It's so much stuff I didn't want to read any more of it. But, and that, the things in the Shooter's Bible are only true up to a point, because there'll come out something in the future that negates that. This never needs upgrading. No, it is right the first time.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So, this is just as much a manifestation of God as Jesus.
That's right. The Word became flesh.
Yes, the Word became flesh. And this is a manifestation of Yahshua HaMashiach.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes.
Joshua the Christ, the Messiah.
The Messiah.
We call Him Jesus.
The anointed one in His anointing.
The anointed one in His anointing.
So when I speak that in faith, it's as if He said it.
Yes. Most of the time I open mine, it just falls open on Mark 11. But I want to show you something. Let's go there. We were there. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, and just go in here and do the timeline. You come, when it was evening has come, they went out of the city, so there's 12 hours. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So there's 24 hours, somewhere between 12 and 24 hours. I mean, that thing died and completely dried up from the roots.
Right.
In other words, Jesus spoke to the root. He didn't speak to the leaves. Nine words. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now, it wasn't, and he just went on to Jerusalem. He didn't care whether it dried up or where lightning hit it. Didn't make him any difference. He spoke it.
That's right.
As far as he was concerned, that tree is dead and it's never going to... It could be standing there today and there wouldn't be any fruit on it.
That's right. That's right. And wouldn't have been.
No.
In all that
not
time.
Ever.
That's right.
Then He gave us that authority. Have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Nine words. And we're out of time. I'll be back in a minute. Glory to God.
Are you done with tolerating defeat in your life? Here's the good news. You can live free from all the baggage of the enemy. You can even demolish burdens in the lives of those around you. How? Through the power of God's anointing. In the audio series, The Power of the Anointing, Kenneth Copeland guides you through scripture to reveal the truth about the anointing and what it can do for you. You will learn exactly what the anointing is, the benefits that the anointing holds, and how to use the power of the anointing. This anointing carries all the power and benefits that Jesus came to deliver: joy, healing, freedom, eternal life. You can do all things through the anointing. Imagine dominating hurdles in your life and achieving success, and having the same type of impact that Jesus did in lives and circumstances everywhere you go. Freedom and success are all wrapped up in the anointing, which is Christ in you. You can live victoriously in every area of your life. Let God's burden-removing, yoke-destroying power completely set you free. Request your free audio series, The Power of the Anointing, by Kenneth Copeland on kcm.org.uk/TV special, or when you call 01225-787-310. This free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today.
Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Build your faith through powerful articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories and testimonies of real-life victory, and equip your kids for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today on our KCM website.
Join Kenneth Copeland at these upcoming KCM events. August 1 through 6, bring your whole family to the Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. October 27 through 29, come to the Omaha Victory Campaign in Nebraska. And November 10 through 12, join Kenneth Copeland at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign in Woodbridge, Virginia. KCM events are free to attend. Go to kcm.org/events for more information, and we'll see you there.
As you could probably tell, when I get on Mark 11, 22, 23, that's where I live. That's where I learned it. I wanted to just stay there, so we'll take up there tomorrow. These are vital things. These are core teachings. This is where faith lives. Amen. In the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Praise God. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Gregory, and all the class reminding you that God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. Visit our website, kcm.org.uk.